Join me in this prayer. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav, Vetzivanu La'asok B'Dvarei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. I like that prayer. It's a good way to open up any time when we're looking in the scriptures. This particular weekend is Parshat Vayigash. He approached, and it describes the reunion, the ultimate reunion of Joseph and his brothers. And I would like to read to you just a few verses from Genesis chapter 45. And you remember that Joseph had been alienated by his brothers. He had dreams, two dreams, when he was just a 17-year-old lad. And his brothers hated him for the first dream. And by the time it was the second dream, the scripture says they hated him even more. And he actually had a problem, which is he was ready to rule over his brothers, but he wasn't ready to serve them. And they in no way were ready to receive his leadership. They hated him so much that they conspired at one point to kill him. Instead, they did a more merciful thing. They sold him into slavery. With brothers like that, you may not want to stick around. And Joseph, if you remember, was sold to Egyptians. He ended up in the household of Potiphar, where he was a slave. And when he was dutifully taking care of his master's belongings, his master's wife tried to seduce him. He refused her seductions and ended up being falsely accused and imprisoned. So it went from bad to worse. It went from slavery into prison. And yet, while he was in prison, God had a plan for Joseph and used Joseph to interpret dreams from Pharaoh. And those dreams were about a coming surplus and then a coming famine in Egypt. Pharaoh recognized that God was with Joseph and that the favor of the Lord was on Joseph. And Pharaoh not only brought Joseph out of prison, he elevated him to the second highest position in the whole land. Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt, and he lived there for many, many years. And his brothers came to buy food. And it was during that process that Joseph had to wrestle with an incredibly difficult challenge. And that was, why did all this stuff happen to me? And what about my brothers and how bad they were to me? And what about the terrible things that I've experienced? He had to wrestle with all of that. And we come in Genesis 45 to the end of his wrestling, when he decides how he's going to handle his brothers and how he's going to look at his life. Let me read to you just five verses. Then Joseph could not control his feelings anymore. This is my translation, so it's a little loose. And he screamed in the Egyptian language to all the Egyptian men who were there in his court. And he said, "Go away from me, every one of you." He said that in Egyptian, not in English. And so all the Egyptians left his presence, and then Joseph spoke to his brothers, and he cried so loudly that the Egyptians and the whole house of Pharaoh heard him, even though not one of them was there in the room. And Joseph spoke in Hebrew to his brothers, and he said, "I am Joseph. What about my father? Is my father still alive?" And his brothers could not answer him, for they were so stunned, and they were afraid, and they were troubled when they realized it was Joseph. And then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And so they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, the one you sold into Egypt. But I don't want you to just feel bad or to be angry with yourselves, even though you sold me into slavery, because God was doing something. He had a secret plan, and God's hand was on me, and he sent me here so that your lives would be saved during this famine." This is an amazing story of a change in character of a young man who, as a teenager, had this arrogance about himself. He understood he was called to give leadership to his brothers, but he so much wanted to rule over them that it had not entered his heart that he needed to serve them with love. And now standing before him in his presence are these same brothers who had sold him into slavery. And he's saying things in Hebrew that are a little bit ambiguous or can be interpreted a number of different ways. He says, I am Joseph, your brother. That's very, very clear. And that's not good news for these guys. Because you got to really understand what's happening to them. They are in Pharaoh's Egyptian court talking to the highest appointed official in the entire land, who's dressed like an Egyptian. He is wearing the clothes of an Egyptian. He speaks Egyptian. And up until that moment, he's been speaking to them through an interpreter who speaks Hebrew. And so what these brothers are seeing is an Egyptian man. And then Joseph knows who he is, and he knows who they are, but they don't know who he is. And all of a sudden, he comes out of this Egyptian persona, and he's crying and he's screaming, and all the Egyptians are, you know, like running away. And his brothers, who don't speak Egyptian, are wondering, is this a lunatic? What is this man? Who is this man? What is he going to do? And all of a sudden, he shifts. He's still an Egyptian in clothes. Outwardly, he's an Egyptian. He's talking in Egyptian language. And now he switches into perfect Hebrew, and he says, I'm Joseph, your brother. It's a perfect time for a heart attack for everyone. And he asks this question, is my father still alive? And the brothers understand something because they have a past, they have a history. You know, sibling rivalry is one of the great themes of Genesis, and you've got Cain and Abel, and how did that end? Not well. Right? And then you've got the story of Isaac and Ishmael, and that just involved rejection and conflict and separation. And then you have Jacob and Esau. That didn't go so well either. And there was a point when Esau was actually ready, it appears, to kill Jacob as soon as their dad was dead. Okay, so now Joseph is shocking them, speaking in Hebrew, and says, is my father alive? Now, you know they all looked at each other. Of course he's alive. Because if they said he was dead, it could be the perfect opportunity for Joseph to say, well, then you're dead. A lot of people will restrain themselves for the sake of their parents. I mean, people even stay married for the sake of the kids. But when the parents are dead, often conflict in the family gets even worse. And so Joseph says, what about father? Is he alive? And they're, no one can talk. Come closer, he says. And he repeats himself. And then he says, I'm Joseph who you sold into slavery. Now, if you know anything about family dynamics, you know when people are confronting like that with simple facts, you often experience an escalation where people start excusing themselves or blaming each other or trying to get out of it. And there's no getting out of it. Joseph says, you are the ones who sold me into slavery. Pause. And then he says, but God was in it. Don't hold this against yourselves. Can you imagine receiving forgiveness in such a shocking way? Receiving reconciliation? You know, Jacob and Esau couldn't stay together even though they made some kind of peace with each other. But Joseph is ready to seek the good of his brothers. It is an amazing development. And in many ways, it is a necessary development for the nation of Israel, because now the brothers, these 12 tribes, can come together, and they've never been able to come together. Now, I was thinking of the different ways that Joseph could have thought, and the ways he did think. He thought about what his brothers did to him. And when you think like that, you understand that they're villains. These are bad guys. They hated Joseph more and more. Surely he remembered that. They wished he were dead. They sold him into slavery, and then they forgot about him. You can focus on what people do to you, and it makes you think of them as the villains. And he also focused on just the bad stuff that happened to him, and that can make a person feel like they are just a powerless victim. He could have thought about the family rejection. No one even came looking for me for all these years. He was sold into slavery. He lost his freedom, put in jail unjustly. That's the kind of stuff that makes people say, no one loves me. You meet people who are just gloomy and doomy. They're like black holes. And light doesn't shine out of them. It gets sucked in. You hang around with them and you lose your own energy and light. These are people who think life stinks, and if something good happened to you, they don't want to hear it. They want to tell you about something bad that's happened to them. And their view on life is that nothing is fair. So Joseph surely wrestled with this thought about what his brothers had done and how they were villains and how they hated him. And surely if he was a man like you or me, or a woman, not like me, like some of you, he could have focused on how they hated him and how he hated them. Because hate is one of those things that just spirals up. The more people hate, the stronger it gets, and it just multiplies. But he looked at things a third way. He asked, what was God doing? And he wasn't looking for villains, and he wasn't thinking like a victim. And he saw things from God's perspective, and he took a different attitude altogether. And he said that God was preparing a great deliverance for the sons of Israel, and that God was defeating evil plans, and that he was using all the trouble for something good. And think about this. These are different ways of looking at life, but all three ways are based on reality, and all three are true. The question is, which one do we prefer to live by? Are we going to live by that perspective where we only look at what people have done to us? Or are we going to live by that perspective where we only think of bad things that have happened to us? Or are we going to take a different perspective, which is to see how God is at work in our lives? Have you ever noticed when children are fighting and you try to break it up? One of them says, he hit me. How many of you as parents have had to deal with this? You know, two tempers are flaring. One of them says, he hit me. And the other one says, he hit me first. And then the other one says, yeah, but he pushed me. Yeah, but he took my toy. How many of you are familiar with that? How many of you had parents who had to deal with you in those conditions? You know, this is just human nature, isn't it? It's this spiraling of hatred and accusation. And Joseph broke out of that. And that's one of the things I love about him. But it raises this question, who are we on the inside, not just the outside? Remember this, it took time for Joseph to heal his wounds. He had a lot of years to work things out. And I say this because you can't always just forgive and forget. Some things take a long time to work through. And you think you've worked through them in a short period of time. You have a little breakthrough. And then you find out that didn't deal with the whole thing. You've got to go at it again and again in order to get the whole thing healed. But I would ask you this question. As we're closing, are you using the time that's been allotted to you for healing? Or are you just stewing? Are you using this time to receive from the Lord so that He can minister to you for your sufferings, so that you have enough time to be healed? Or are you still stuck in a different perspective? Now, I love what Isaiah 11, verse 3, says about Messiah. It says that He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and He won't judge by what His eyes see or decide by what His ears hear. In other words, He's not just going to use superficial evidence to reach His conclusions, but Messiah will look into the hearts, and He will reach His conclusions through a deeper perspective. And it makes me think of this wonderful passage from Luke chapter 2, verse 14, when this little baby was born in Beit Lechem, house of bread, Bethlehem. And angels appeared to some shepherds, and they started singing. And part of their song was, "Glory to God in the highest." And then they said, "And on earth, shalom, and goodwill to men." They were proclaiming something, that Messiah had been born, that He was coming, and it was worth devoting your life to finding Him. And I want to encourage you during these days to take the heart of Joseph and the heart of Messiah and apply it to your life. Don't be stuck in the things people have done to you. If you got to work through them in order to be reconciled, do it. Make yourself available for that healing. If God has to heal you far away, let it be that He heals you far away, so that if they ever come close, you can extend forgiveness. But you can begin by extending forgiveness even when you're far away. The easiest way to get the power to do that is not by denying how hard it was or how painful it was or pushing it down, but by acknowledging it before the Lord and letting Him minister His love to you. And His love will heal what others have done against you. That's my encouragement for you today. We're going to close with three kinds of blessings. And I want you to open your siddurs. There should be one in the seat back in front of you or nearby you. And I want you to open to pages 7 and 8. And anyone who has a son or a daughter near you, I want you to pray these simple blessings with me. So moms and dads, if you've got a son, then just lay your hands on him and repeat this. I'm going to do it word by word in Hebrew, and you can repeat after me. Yasimcha Elohim ka Ephraim v'chim nasha. May God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. It's a blessing that the Jewish people pronounce on their sons. And if you remember, Ephraim and Manasseh were the sons of Joseph, born in Egypt of an Egyptian mother. And Jacob blessed them in this way and brought them into full identity as children of Israel. And then lay your hands on your daughters and repeat after me. Yesimech Elohim Kasara Rivka Rachel Valea. May God make you as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. These are the mothers of Israel who God used to multiply and bring forth the Jewish people. Okay, now, we're still on pages 7 and 8. If you are a husband and you have a wife, I want you to lay hands on your wife. So my wife, I want to invite you to come up. But ladies, even if you're not married, you can receive a little blessing here. And we're going to pray for all the women, but anyone who is here with husbands with their wives, you can pray with me these blessings that are from Proverbs 31 about a woman of valor. And I'll just call out the Hebrew word by word. Eshet chayil mi yimtza varachok mipninim michra. Batach ba lev bala vashalal lo yechsar. Now look at your beloved and speak these words to her. A woman of valor, who can find? She is worth far more than precious jewels. That's what Proverbs 31 says. Now you can say it to her directly. A woman of valor, who can find? You are worth far more than precious jewels. The heart of your husband safely trusts you, and I profit greatly thereby. Now you should kiss your wife. And now let everyone stand. And nobody stand alone. If you're by yourself, find someone else to stand nearby. We're going to pray Aaron's blessing over you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'era Adonai p'nav elecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And we're going to close with a Dun alum.
If you'll please turn to page 82 in your Siddurim. There are five verses to Adom Olam, and before each verse, we'll read the English together. So if you'll join me on the bottom of page 82, let's read the first paragraph. Master of the universe, who reigned before any form was created, when creation came about by His will, then as King was His name proclaimed to be.
Adon Olam Hashem B'terem kol yitzir nivra le'et naso b'cheftzo kol azay melek shemo nekra.
And after all has ceased to be, He alone will reign in awesomeness, and He was, and He is, and He shall be eternally in splendor. No second to compare to Him, to be His equal without beginning and without end. His is the power and dominion.
Ve'hu echad ve'en sheni le'am shilo la'ach be'ra beli reishit beli tachlit ve'lo ha'oz ve'ha'misra.
And he is my God, my living Redeemer, and the rock of my pain in times of trouble. And he is my banner and a refuge for me, the portion of my cup in the day I call upon him.
Vehu eli veche goali be'etzara vehu Manos li manat kosi be'yomekra.
In his hands I entrust my spirit, in the time I sleep or am awake, and with my spirit, my body, the Lord is with me. I shall not fear.
B'yado av kidruchi b'eteshan v'ayira b'imruchi gviyati adon.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.